Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Board Gamers Anonymous, the podcast of board gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Chris.
Hey, this is Anthony.
And this is episode 457, Most Anticipated Games for 2024. We'd like to thank all our Patreon backers for helping us bring you a brand new episode. All right, friends, we are back. It is 2024. And of course, we are so glad to be with you here talking about the most anticipated games that are upcoming.
Yes.
Probably, hopefully, maybe.
No, well,
somewhat?
Statistically speaking, at least half of these will come out this year. So,
okay. We were going to put that in the title, but it seemed a little wordy.
It's a little long. Yeah, it is a little long.
Yeah.
This is a fun one, though. We do this every year. There are at least 50 games every year.
50,000 games, right?
50,000 games. Well, no. My promise.
That's also a long episode.
Oh my gosh, an infinite episode. Now, my promise to you is that there's at least 50 games on this list, including expansions and re-releases. You will also be able to go to the website sometime in the next week or so, and all of these will be listed there as well, along with photos and links to Board Game Geek. So if you want to see more information about these games, check that out. The goal here, of course, is to kind of give you a master list to work from for 2024 of everything that's upcoming. Now, this doesn't include all the stuff that's going to be announced anytime after today. So, you know, grain of salt. If we'd recorded this when we meant to, if I hadn't gotten sick, then we wouldn't have Wormspan on the list, for example.
Oh, there you go.
But, you know, so illness came in handy. But there'll be many more Wormspans throughout the year. So if you're listening to this in June and you're like, what about Ticket to Ride 14 and, you know, Wingspan in Space? We don't know about those yet.
But if you could send those back in time to us, we will cover it.
Yes.
Or maybe we're already covering it because you did that, because that's how time works.
Oh, shoot.
Paradox.
Oh, man. It got heavy, man.
That's right. That's right. Time's relative, man. It just, you can send it back and forth. It's all good. But yeah, no, you could get all of this information, BoardGamersAnonymous.com. I'm assuming there'll be a link in the show notes.
Yes, sir.
At some point.
Yep.
So just whatever podcast player you're using, drop down, click the link, run through all the fun, talk amongst yourselves about all the good stuff. And then, of course, as always, hit us up on all the social medias, at least the ones that are left at some point, because we know those are... That's a thing too, but hit us up on the social medias so that we can talk more about it. And if you have any questions, thoughts, ideas, shout it out somewhere. You know, it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
So Anthony, let's just take an ever so brief break for a second, because as you mentioned, 2023, a good year for games.
Great year for games.
Great year for games. That's what I like to hear.
Yes. No, it was, we talked about this last year a little bit, and to some degree the year before.
So that was like a week ago?
Yeah, well. The last couple of years hasn't been great for the type of games that we like, right? There's been a lot of very good games released in the last 2-3 years, but like 2021, 2022 just weren't BGA years, right?
No.
They weren't as many heavy games. There weren't like those big releases. I feel like all of them got delayed into 2023. There are so many games. Like, we're putting together our BGA awards now. We're going to be releasing that next week. And it's not even just a top 10 of our favorite games of the year. It's like a top 14. And I don't know if we can pare it down much more. There's so many good games that came out this last year. So it's exciting. Again, a lot of these were not on our anticipated list because we didn't know they existed yet. But looking ahead to 2024, seems like there's a lot of good stuff coming as well. So it's, I don't know. It's the industry's catching up, I guess, from the delays that happened during COVID.
Yeah, we did a episode. I think we did a episode like titled The Last 10 because we hit our 10th year anniversary and we went over the last 10 years of like game of the years and stuff like that. And as you mentioned, the last couple of years were a little thin. I mean, last year was very good, but before that, a big problem because when we went over the award ceremonies, it was always like three or four games that kind of fit that medium to heavy weight Euro Amerithrash kind of game and theme. And even then it was like, ugh. Not that they were bad games, but it was like in a normal year, they would be B tier games. And even like the designer stuff too, that we usually like just run towards, even their stuff was a little below par. Maybe that's some of the playtesting that didn't happen because of COVID. You know, so, or some of the publishers just holding back on some stuff, thinking that, you know, maybe someday they'd be able to get this out. So I guess someday's now, because 2024 looks great.
All at the same time and in rapid succession. So it's
because clearly we have all the time in the world to play all these games all at the same time.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, I did play a fair amount over the holiday break. Like I couldn't go anywhere and do anything because I just kept getting sick. So I was just in my basement playing games, which sounds like the dream. But, you know, as you're actively also coughing up a lung, it's variable how happy you are about that situation. So much good stuff. I'm excited to talk about that next week.
Yeah, people stay safe out there. As always, we want to see you at the table. Do everything possible to ensure that you will always be at the table with us in upcoming conventions and such. We really want to see you there. We really want you to be there. Please stay safe. Dear God, please stay healthy. It's a thing out there right now.
So much out there right now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Anthony. So again, I guess let's start off with the big bangers, right? The most anticipated for 2024, the base games, the heavy stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the big list. This is like the full games coming out. Towards the end, we have a slightly smaller list of expansions and re-releases that are coming in 2024 that we know of. All of these lists are a mix of like, these are games that we know are coming, and these are games that were crowdfunded in the last year, year and a half that should be coming. Right.
Sure.
So sometimes we talk about a game that's crowdfunded relatively recently. They say 2024 and then we all kind of know it's not happening, but we still mention it. So, so if you're listening, you're like, there's no way that game comes out this year. I'm like, maybe you're right, but they say it's coming out. So we're going to talk about it anyways.
And we've also gotten some future knowledge from our time traveler friends who listens to the podcast. Yeah, so,
but we are going to mix in about 30% incorrect just so you don't realize that.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a multi-universe kind of thing. So BGA exists in all the multiverse. So in one of the multiverses, all the games do come out.
Oh, man, my brain hurts now.
In one of them, none of them come out.
No, no. I don't like this. I don't like this. This is like a bad Marvel movie. Ugh.
So when you're listening to this in 2025, you'll get to know what kind of universe you're in. That's all we're saying.
Oh my gosh.
Is it the darkest timeline? I don't know. It feels like that some days. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it keeps getting darker. Anyways, games. Games are light and fun.
Yay! Let's do the thing with the games.
All right. So like I said, there's more than 50 here. This is going to be relatively rapid fire, like a minute or two per game, but rest assured, we will be talking about all of these later as well.
Yes, this is the pre-list of lists for the future. Yes,
the mega preview. All right, first up we have Andromeda's Edge, Luke Laurie's follow-up to Dwellings of Eldervale, but this time in space. This was crowdfunded early last year, so it is very likely coming out this year.
I would love that. If they would release this, I would be so happy.
Yeah.
Like, this is the game. This is, again, we'll go through the list, but this is one of my most anticipated games. I mean, obviously, it's the first one we're talking about. So.
Yeah.
And I backed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think skimming through this list, this might be my most anticipated.
Yeah.
Of everything. There's one like way down the list that I don't know if it's coming out this year or not, but this is the one. So I'm super excited about this one.
Same.
And you know, there's some other tweaks in there. It isn't just Dwellings of Eldervale in space, but if we're being reductive, which we are, because this is a preview episode, it's Dwellings of Eldervale in space.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though.
No, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have another game in space. We got a lot of those coming up, actually. Arx. This is Cole Worley's new game. This was on Kickstarter, again, about a year ago. So very, very likely this is coming in the first half of this year. This is a like campaign style ish game with multi-use cards, some like borderline trick taking elements to it, in space. So it's got Kyle Farron artwork. It's got that asymmetry that we all know and love from Leader Games. Oath ended up being a little bit too much for me. Although I will say, I've recently gotten emails from a couple people, and we must have talked about it on an episode recently, being like, you have to get back to Oath. It's brilliant. So I kind of want to. But this is the next one coming out. So Arx.
Yeah, I remember seeing the campaign. I did pass on it, and I look forward to regretting it terribly because it could be the banger of the year.
Yep. Well, we will definitely play it because I need someone to play it with.
Done.
I must play this game.
Woohoo!
All right. Next up, we have Pompero. This is the new windmill game from Julian Pombo, who works on a lot of solo stuff and kind of collaborates with Vital Lacerda. So it's coming from Ape Games, not Eagle Griffin, but it is artwork by Ian O'Toole. So there you go. And it looks like a Lacerda game, just in terms of production. It's got like that kind of vibe to it. It is a game about kind of building the infrastructure, the wind-powered infrastructure in Uruguay. So I love the theme. I love the idea behind it. I've played Pombo's work in other Lacerda stuff, so I'm excited about it. I actually pre-ordered this after the Kickstarter campaign because I missed it the first time around. And it's, I haven't checked recently, but I know it's on its way. It's coming here in the first few months of the year.
Yeah, and for a game that is can be like mechanically a little dry, and at least as far as the Euro stuff goes, again, Ian O'Toole just coming in to save the day, because that's what the man does.
So pretty. Next up, we have Imperium Horizons. This is the third game in the Imperium series, which are standalone but also blendable little mini deck games, Civ games from Nigel Buckle and David Turchi. So this is the third in the series, and they can kind of mesh them all together. This was actually announced over a year ago. It was on our list last year, and it's not crowdfunded, so I'm surprised it didn't come out yet, but it didn't. So here it is again on the list. Imperium Classics and Imperium Legends, which I have both of, are brilliant, are fantastic, so I'm excited for this one.
I still have not played any of these, and I don't know how that's happened because I've seen this at your house.
Yeah.
And we have not played this. At least I have not played this, and I remember way back when it came out initially. I think it had been out somewhere before and then came out to the US late.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a game I really would want to play and just never had seen at the table. So
this is the very first game that was shipped to my new house. Because I remember I have a mental image of it sitting in the middle of the floor when nothing else was in the house.
That's probably where I saw it.
Yeah, maybe.
So
yeah. You'd like it. It's very like it's tableau building.
Damn, so, man.
I know. And a Civ game. we'll play it sometime. They're good.
All right.
Next up is I'll let you take this one because I didn't back it. Unconscious Mind.
Yeah, I backed it. It's all about Freud and his friends doing a lot of psychology in a very Euro / surreal mindscape, but also very down to earth as far as doing the job of psychotherapists back in the day. You got worker placement, you got engine building, action selection. The Kickstarter was lavish. I'm hoping it, you know, lives up to the great presentation that they put on the campaign because it was a little pricey to say the least. But I am loving and looking forward to this to the ends of the earth. I mean, it looks like they spared no expense with it. So yes, very good.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it. This is the one that I did not back that I wish I had, and I'm now excited to play your copy.
See, I did a thing.
Yeah.
I backed a thing.
Yeah, it's reciprocal.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's one that we neither of us backed, and I'm sure we'll both regret eventually, is Stellaris, Infinite Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, for a little while, this one looked like vaporware. This has been on our list for the last 2 years. And I had removed it from the list. And then we saw a copy at PAX that looked like it existed. And so, like, oh, I guess I got to put it back on the list. This game might be real. I mean, the Eckerts make good games. I just didn't seem like they were actually making this one. So,
yeah, that campaign was the most sus campaign I've ever seen. And I used to do Kicking the Habit way back when Kickstarter first doing board games.
Yeah.
And it was really sketchy back in the day. So when they came out with this, I'm like, I love Academy Games. I love Stellaris. This is going to be perfect. And then you got to the campaign and there was no rule book, no playthrough. And I don't even remember if they even had like pictures or stuff. Like it was like a very bare bones kind of website. And then you had like 24 or 48 hours to back it with the extra early bird thing. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you got like, it was like the worst case scenario of all the things at the same time.
Right.
And we started at PAX. And again, it sounds great. The guy pitched it to us again, and I was like, this sounds great. But the whole game wasn't there. There was just a portion of the game to see, and like, not even demo. It was like, here's a thing you could do. And I'm like, okay, still sounds great. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll probably be good and we'll be annoyed, but it's.
Yeah.
I don't regret not backing it because it was so weird and sus. And
it was a very weird campaign. I think the idea of like, once again, people can jump in and out. Brilliant. More games need to be like that, especially when they're at this level of like 4X kind of thing. So I think that's the thing I'm going to regret more than anything else. But hopefully someone else locally has it. So,
yeah. All right. Next up, we have Dune, War for Arrakis. This is from Simon, and it is designed by Marco Maggi and Francesco Nepitello, who are the designers of War of the Ring, my favorite game of all time. So this takes some of the core elements of that system and re-implements it for Dune, which was an instant sell for me. I backed this immediately, despite not really being in on CMON campaigns anymore. This one is set to arrive in the US on the ship like this week and should ship out in the next 2 weeks. So we should have this by February. Therefore, it is a game I know exists and I'm excited for it.
I mean, it has all the markings of the sleeper hit of the year, no pun intended, and it could certainly be that way.
Yeah,
I just...
Well, they timed it perfectly. It's going to arrive like the month before the movie. So,
I mean, even when Dune Imperium came out, I was like, oh, Dune Imperium, that's great. I don't think anyone's going to be just... I think it's not going to have a big following because Dune never really had a huge following, and huge following followed. So... this is great because the people who play Dune Imperium now might be ready for like an all out, you know, 1v1 kind of game in that kind of universe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. It's going to be big and long. So hopefully they know that. But I look forward to
it. Well, it's a good, I mean, Dune Imperium is a really good stepping stone for that. Because again, I can't imagine, like, when Dune is so dense, I was surprised that, you know, it wasn't produced by somebody bigger.
Yeah.
You know, Lacerda or, you know, somebody with serious crunch.
Yeah.
And they made it accessible and everyone jumped on board, which was shocking. You know, like
of all IPs, so, Dune is the one with like the board game that's like up at the top of the list. That's so weird to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, another IP game, a little bit smaller, Slay the Spire, the board game.
Mm-hmm.
This was a Kickstarter at the end of 2022. So it has now been not quite a year and a half, but we're getting there. And this is one where they're like, we are 100% just making the video game as a board game, which honestly is why I didn't back it. Because I'm like, I have the video game. I love the video game. I don't need card version of that. But it is an amazing video game. So if they pull it off, it could be quite good.
I can't imagine, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to manage the math.
Yeah.
Because there are like crazy combos with numbers of cards that come out there. I mean, obviously, they've done a thing.
Yeah.
But this is one of those times where I wish it was different. Because I feel like I played Slay the Spire to death.
Right.
I have. And then I fell asleep and woke up and didn't remember any of it. So.
Right. good times.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have a sequel. I did not put it down in the re-release section because it is a legacy game, so therefore it's probably got some new stuff going on. Clank Legacy 2, Acquisitions Incorporated, Darkest Magic. So this is just a straight up sequel, like think Pandemic Legacy 2. This is Clank Legacy 2, which people who've played Clank Legacy love it. It's one of the favorite.
Yeah.
It's like a top 100 game. I've never played it. I'm not a huge Clank fan. In general,
Penny Arcade. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Penny Arcade.
I don't care about Penny Arcade and I don't care about Clink. So I haven't played those. I know. PAX is great, but Penny Arcade is whatever.
Send the hate mail to Anthony at BoardGamersAnonymous.com. Chris is a big fan. Love you guys. Love you. It's okay.
So anyways, we get another one of these. So
yeah.
For those of you too. Who care, I'm glad you're happy. Next up, we got Metal Gear Solid, the board game, which is a game that Emerson Matsuchi designed it. Great. It was originally, I think, Pandasaurus maybe had the license to this, and then it died. They killed it. It was done. And then CMON brought it back, put up a pre-order page last year. So it is coming out this year. This is a stealth sneaking around game in which you are fighting through Shadow Moses Island to destroy Metal Gear. So it is legit just Metal Gear Solid as a board game.
Yeah.
Could be very cool. Could
doubtful.
Be
doubtful.
Could be kind of lame. Hard to tell.
Probably.
Metal Gear Solid is such a weird, quirky, authorial vision.
Yeah.
I don't know how you turn that into a board game, but
it's a great video game.
Yeah.
It's just it's asking a lot.
Yeah.
It's asking a lot. So I hope they hit it. I hope they crush it. It's just asking a lot. And I remember when they announced it, it just you know. So
yeah.
We'll just yeah.
I was like looking at him like, can I just buy the Metal Gear miniature?
No. Yeah.
I don't want to pay $100 for this, so I don't want the game that goes with it.
A lot of games do, a lot of video games do fit perfectly into board game situations. I'm always very suspicious of when it seems like it's just another tactical miniatures on a board.
Yeah.
And again, that's not a bad thing. If you love that IP so much, you don't care what you're getting.
Right.
You just want it. All for that. Metal Gear is just, it's more than that. It's more than just a simple video game.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
100%. All right. Next up, Undergrove. This is Elizabeth Hargrave's mushroom game. So
you're a fun guy.
On Kickstarter summer this last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It probably will come out this year. AEG tends to run pretty quick on theirs. It looks interesting. There's been a lot of mushroom games lately. I don't know why. People are obsessed with mushrooms all of a sudden. But
it's the new zombies.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's not even the new zombies. It's the old zombies.
Yeah, that's true.
But
the original zombies. Yeah.
It looks interesting. It gives me like an Earth vibe, though, looking at the tableau.
Yeah.
So I don't dig that, but I will see. I'm reserving judgment. I did not back this, but I will gladly play it.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot to say about it, but I, like you said, we have not played it. So let's.
No.
We'll say it.
We've done a preview at several conventions, which is 10 minutes long and doesn't tell you anything. So
yes. And it's out there. It's coming out. AEG does a great job. Yeah, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Molly House. This is from Whirligig Games, designed by Joe Kelly. And this was submitted for the Zenobia Awards, the Historical Gaming Awards. Also co-developed by Cole Worley, who worked on the game with Joe. It's a very interesting theme because it's just not the kind of thing we see in games in general, right? So we have players take on the roles of mollies, who are like the gender-defying individuals back in like early 1700s in London, who threw like these big parties and had to like avoid the police, who would crack down on things for moral depravity, quote unquote. So very interesting theme, looks very unique in a lot of ways, both mechanically and thematically. It's just very cool that Whirligig picked this up and they're publishing it. Looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, couldn't be in better hands. I got to see this at PAX Unplugged. They were doing very short demos of it, but everyone seemed to be happy with it. So yeah look forward to it.
Looks very cool. Next up, another IP. We got Elder Scrolls Betrayal of the Second Era. Which, honestly, by itself, I would have been like, who cares? But it's Chip Theory Games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I I can see why people care. I kind of care a little. I honestly, I've never really loved any of their games, but I respect the heck out of them for yeah. what they do and the amount of work and time they put into it. It looks interesting. So it's a big cooperative adventure game, Elder mm-hmm. Scrolls. So I thematically not interested. I'm not a huge Elder Scrolls fan, but you throw that like fine layer of polish you get from a Chip Theory game on top of it, and I'm like, ooh, man, this looks really cool.
Yeah, it's again, I have not played it yet. I don't think anyone's really, more or less, I guess, unless you were a direct influencer for them.
Yeah.
It looks very much like Too Many Bones.
Yes.
So, yeah. But that's neither good or bad. It just, it's a thing. You know, we're going to have to do a list. Every time I'm just like, damn it, this is a list of all the video game IP stuff.
I know. Yeah. It's been a lot lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Nocturne. This is the new one from Flatout Games, who did Cascadia mm-hmm. and Calico and all those other great things. This is Fox Mystics throwing spells at each other, collecting yeah. magical forest items. I love it. I love the theme. I love the visuals. Beth Sobel doing the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah. we get like these really realistic looking foxes, but they're like in wizard robes. So cool looking. I did back this. I love Flat Out Games. They do these like very puzzly spatial type of things. And
yeah,
I've enjoyed all of them. And this looks like another one. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. And I think that's the point. I mean, I previewed this on Kicking the Habit, and I think we talked about this. It is very much a puzzle game. It's very much like an abstract tactical kind of game in a grid. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot of that nice theming, but it's not cutesy characters on a board shooting things. It really mm-hmm. is a intellectual puzzle kind of game.
Yeah. 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 So I will review it and let you all know later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Unlimited Spark of Rebellion. This is Fantasy Flight's new collectible card game that will be dead within a year. The game is actually pretty good. I played it at Gen Con with my son. He fell in love mm-hmm. with it. And so I did pre-order some stuff because it's rare that he loves a game that much. So I was like, okay, I'll get a starter kit and a couple, like one booster box, which is already too much money. But we're gonna do like a very light introduction to the game. And then from there, he can spend his own money on it. But it is a good game. Like, just mechanically speaking, it fits the theme really well of Star Wars. I'm looking forward to it. I wish it wasn't going to be dead in a year and a half, but it's Fantasy Flight. It will be dead in a year and a half.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. And Larkhan is out there, too, eating everyone's lunch at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much CCG table space there's going to be with so many big hitters out there. Flesh and Bone is big, too, as well. So
yeah.
Good luck.
Historically, the industry has only really been able to support like three or four of these things. Right now, we have like five. Like, one of them's already set to die, probably, and then we get a new one with Star Wars. I'm like, I don't know. It's not going to last, I'll enjoy it while I can.
Stick with the deck builder. It's awesome. Make more stuff for that.
Yes, make more. I would love that. All right, next up, we have Inventions, Evolution of Ideas, Vital Lacerda's new game. This will probably ship middle, second half of the year, based on their usual timeline. Neither one of us backed this because of our disappointment with Weather Machine.
Yeah.
So this is yet another one that falls in the category of like, I hope it's good, but also I hope it's not. But we'll see.
And just honestly, not in particular Vital Lacerda, but it reminds me of, I mean, this particular situation. If you have a game, and I understand the desire and the advice that you get as far as getting everybody and their brother and sister to do a paid preview, that's great. But if I'm going to back something that I have not played, I need to have an independent review in order to pull the trigger. So you can get every internationally known, you know, media person out there to do a paid preview. But if there's not somebody legitimately independent who's played the game and can talk about the game, I can't back the game. Yeah. So please, I see so many Kickstarters. This was one of them. I see so many Kickstarters with so many previews, and then there's a pull quote, but you already paid them for a preview. Again, not saying that wasn't their true feelings about it. I just need some independent game reviews of it. That's all I'm saying. I would back this. I backed everything else. And I just can't do it anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's my little PSA for the day.
Yeah, it's just so much. It's such a big investment of time, if nothing else, let alone the money. So, yeah, we need
just I just want to see how the game's played. I love Kickstarter for so many reasons, like so many incredible reasons. But this is one of those things where I got to feel the playthrough. I got to feel someone playing it and really examining it in order to back something sight unseen.
Right.
For, you know, typically $100 to $200+ waiting for 2+ years. I'll just wait until it comes out, because that's what I'm going to do now. Just wait until it comes out now. So
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have MLEM Space Agency. This is a new Reiner Knizia game coming from Rebel Studio about sending cats into space.
There's going to have to be an episode about which is the new thing. So we have mushrooms, we have cats, and we have space.
Cats in space. That's the new thing.
Cats in space. Well, we have bees in space. So we do. Mushrooms in space? Is mushrooms
in space? Mushrooms in space. That might be next. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything in space. Let's do it. That's pretty much what we know right now. It is a push your luck race game of sending cats into space. So
awesome.
It's Reiner Knizia, and it's a ridiculous theme. I'm kind of super into that. So I would like to see how this plays.
Definitely check out the artwork, because it really leans into the wacky premise of it all.
Yeah.
So there's one of the planets is like a Saturn planet, but it's made of yarn.
Yes.
So
I love it.
That's a thing, I guess.
No, I love it. It's great. All right. Next up, we have another big old honking game. This is not going to come out in 2024. They list it as that, but so that's why it's on our list, but it hasn't even run their Kickstarter yet. Galactic Cruise. So this is a game that has been, they've been floating it around since Gen Con. People have been previewing it. They had a booth at PAX. People were previewing it there. It's a big, heavy Euro. Well, medium, heavy Euro. But it's got the big box treatment, Ian O'Toole artwork. It looks like one of those, right? It has the Vitale Sterta look to it. And it's about space exploration and getting up into space as kind of a company up there. Kind of got that faux 50s artwork going on. I love the aesthetic of this. By all accounts, it's very good from people who've previewed it and played it. We have not, so I can't say one way or another, but I am looking forward to the crowdfunding campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll be obscenely expensive and I may not back it because of that, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. I don't think we'll see the game this year, though.
Same.
All right. Next up, we have Kelp. You previewed Kelp, right?
Yeah. Kelp looks great. 2-player asymmetrical game. You have your octopi kind of playing a little stratego as it bounces around and tries to prevent to get eaten. And then you have some dice rolling from the shark who's, you know, after the octopus the whole game. It was a really good campaign. A little bit on the high side, but it really, everything of it looks sweet. The artwork looked great. The production looked great. The theming looked great. So, yeah. Looking forward to getting to the table.
Cool. All right. Next up, we have Marvel United Multiverse, which I feel silly putting on the list because we've already had two of these mega Marvel United campaigns. But hey, guess what? We backed this too. So,
well, to be fair, it's a multiverse. So we're going to be talking about this game multiple times in multiple places.
Yeah. It's coming. This is just more Marvel United with some more tweaks to it. I dig it. I'm excited for a Captain Carter mini. That's cool. There's some other cool stuff in there. There's also some lame stuff in there, like because they just have to fill it out. And they are running out of stuff to do after three campaigns of this. So I'm interested to see what they do next, because they have not indicated they're done. I don't know what comes after this, but this will be cool.
This was certainly a hard campaign to watch. You're a big Marvel fan. I'm a huge Marvel fan. Comics way back, you know. Huge number of boxes of comics and stuff like that. So I know, I would say I knew at least 90% of the characters there. And I'm just like, ooh, you guys are stretching. Like, I thought you guys were stretching with the X-Men campaign. But, like, this is really deep, deep, deep cuts. And I can't imagine what they would come out for another campaign. That being said, the game itself mechanically has been great. And it has not disappointed for what it is. So in that scenario, I like the little oddity kind of characters here and there. And Marvel Cinematic Universe and, you know, Disney Plus has not done the best job with their recent kind of outtakes. But it's good to see the characters. You know, I want to play some Crocodile Loki. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, next up we have another Reiner Knizia game, Cascadero. This was on Kickstarter not too long ago. And it's Knizia getting the big box Unotool treatment. So, beautiful cover. It's an abstract game, so it's little hexes with tokens moving around. Reiner Knizia, very, very mathy. But the stuff that has artwork on it looks really good.
Yeah. I mean, that's a dream team right there, those two.
Yeah.
And Knizia needs somebody to come in there and just pump life into his abstract. So perfect. 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 Didn't back it, but looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have enough Knizia abstracts, which I love, but I don't need more of them. So I didn't back this either, but I look forward to playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is a game that we've been talking about for like 10 years. Tales of the Arthurian Knights. supposedly coming out in 2024. I'll believe it when I see it. But Andrew Parks, who we know, good friend, mentioned that this game exists and is coming. So I'm looking forward to its existence in our life.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, it's coming out from WizKids. WizKids knows how to do things and produce things. And they've had a really good record, especially recently. So we just need to make the time to get this to the table. But looking forward to it.
Yeah. Next up, we have Huang, which is another Reiner Knizia game. Big year coming up.
That guy,
I know.
I'm just saying, I know he's up and coming, but I think he might be it might be the real thing.
Might be onto something here, yeah.
I know. He might produce a game or two.
Yeah. So this is the third version. So again, maybe this should be in our next section with the re-implementations, but it is Tigris and Euphrates, and then Yellow and Yangtze, and now it's Huang, which is taking from the Middle East, and then from China, but then re-implementing it again in China in the Warring States period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the hugest fan of this system of games, but it is a classic, an all-timer for a reason. Like Tigris and Euphrates, one of the top 200 games. Yellow and Yangtze, fantastic.
Yes,
implementation of that. So this is yet another new version of that. This was on GameFound, so it's like a nice, beautiful, fancy production of that. It's just really cool to see like these abstracts. Like an abstract game, it could just be pieces of cardboard on a map.
But yeah,
to get really pretty versions of that.
It's interesting because this is the third some odd version of this.
Yeah.
Give or take. So sure.
Yeah. Keep bringing them out. People love them. All right. Next one up is you, Star Trek Into the Unknown.
Oh, yeah. We got to see / ever so lightly demo a little bit of this. And this is Star Trek Attack Wing, but more of a 1v1 with high quality large miniatures and a brand new tactical system that really is more Euro-like, where you're just playing multi-use cards to activate certain systems on your ship. There's, of course, battling, because, of course, there's battling, but there's also mission completion as well. There wasn't a lot more to it, at least at PAX Unplugged. I'm sure there's a lot more coming from it. But I'm looking forward to checking this out. Big fan. So, yeah. I mean, it's got a lot of competition out there from Attack Wing, from Ascendancy. But this looks good. Looks good and smart. It looks good and smart. They got the right idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for this one. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Unreliable Wizard. This is a solo-only game that was... It came out in Japan in 2022, but it was recently on GameFound for a U.S. release in 2024. It's designed by Kamibayashi. And it is a solo-only card-laying game based on, like, old 8-bit style, like, adventure games. So, it's got some, like, Zelda vibes, some old-school Final Fantasy vibes. Very excited for this. It's super, super up my alley. I did back this, so I'm excited for this.
Excellent.
Dungeon Cart from Brotherwise Games. I think we talked about this back when it was up on crowdfunding. This is the boss monster crew in a kart racing game. That's cool.
It's Mario Kart, man. Just say it.
Yeah.
It's Mario Kart.
I love it. I did not back this. I don't remember why. It seems like something I would, but I did not. But I'm very excited to see how this plays.
Mm-hmm.
Evacuation. So every year we do this list, and there's that one game from Rio Grande Games, because they release their big game every year the first week of January. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they do this every year. It is the worst week to release a new game, because you don't get on the end of the year lists. You don't get on the beginning of the year lists.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting it on our beginning of the year list anyways. But I have this downstairs. It showed up like yesterday. So
man, they don't play by your rules, man.
No, they don't play by anybody's rules. And then nobody knows their games exist.
You don't say.
Yeah. So anyways, this is the new Vladimir Succi game. It came out at Essen. They had copies at PAX to play. It's just now reaching North America like this week. So it is the most anticipated. I've not played it yet. I look forward to playing it.
Ditto. Yeah, this is Vladimir Succi, super big fan. Looking forward to getting this at the table.
Yep. Another Essen game that is coming out in the West here in the next few months is Rats of Wistar. I don't know. This is Simone Luciani and Danilo Sabia. It's a bunch of rats who escape from a like testing facility and have to set up a whole little community.
Yeah.
It's the secret of NIM, basically.
100%. Game, yeah.
Which is cool. That's a fun movie. So look forward to it. It's kind of on the lighter end as a Euro. Kind of demoed it and looked at the rules a couple times, but it's definitely a game I want to pick up. So
100%. Yeah, no, it looks great. Mm-hmm.
Luthier is the new one from Paverson Games, which released Distilled last year. This game has not yet made its way to crowdfunding. It's coming to Kickstarter soon. So as I said before, there's no way this comes out in 2024, but they've listed it as 2024, so it's on our list.
So this is PAX Unplugged, and instantly became a big fan of it. It just looks great. So almost assuredly, we'll back this.
Yes. All right. Next up, we have Cascadia, Rolling Hills, and Rolling Rivers. So Cascadia is one of my top 10 games of all time. And now we're getting a flip and roll and write game based on that. Now, I almost certainly won't like that as much as I like Cascadia, but it looks interesting nonetheless, the way they've approached it. It is designed by Randy Flynn. So it's same designer kind of approaching it. It's flat out game. It's going to be very puzzly. I believe they're just releasing this straight up. So it's not coming to Kickstarter or anything. I'm excited for all of those reasons. So probably not in your wheelhouse at all.
But, nope, not even a little bit.
But I'm excited for it. I will be picking up. I'll probably pick up both of them because I'm a crazy person. But Cascadia. Yes. Flip and rolling rights.
Sure, why not?
All right, next up we have Defenders of the Realm 2.0 version 16. What are they calling this? Legends Retold. That's what they're calling it.
Yes.
We did get a chance to see this at PAX. Did not get a chance to play it, but it's very bright. That's what I know. It's very bright.
It's very bright and colorful, and hopefully it does justice to the game. Again, it looked like it was some different mechanics to it. So, but almost, I mean, it's a great company. I mean, everything's great. So, yeah.
Yeah,
probably be a back. Yeah.
It's coming from Greater Than Games. It has five designers listed. The original was solely designed by Richard Lanius, so and now there's four other people helping with that. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's a lot of different people with ideas. So we'll see how that goes.
It does not have the Larry Elmore artwork. That's the only major down with it.
It does look very generic. Like
it does.
Like there's this common style that we're getting now of just like cartoony fantasy look, like Avatar Last Airbender type of look on everything. And it's bright and it's colorful and it's accessible, but it's also just kind of bland because everything looks like that.
It's approaching that AI uncanniness, not necessarily a bad way, but as in like, it just doesn't have any definition or feel to it. It's
So we'll see how it goes. Next up we have Sincore, the Pride of Monsamusa. This is a new one from Osprey Games, and it's bringing back Fabio Lopiano and Ian O'Toole, who previously worked together on Merv, the Heart of the Silk Road. And that game came out in 2020. It was fantastic. I loved it. But no one played it because it released in like July 2020. So this is a new one with a very similar look and feel to it in terms of aesthetics and coloring. The cover even looks kind of the same. This takes place in Timbuktu at the you are managing the University of Sankore. So we're adding a game to our list of university games, which is great.
Whoa, look at that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's historical, which is fun. So you are enrolling pupils, teaching classes, adding to curriculum, filling the library. Like, just everything sounds amazing about this. It is releasing, like, in a couple weeks. I have this on pre-order. I think it's coming, like, mid-month. So nice. I very much look forward to playing this and telling you all what I think.
Looks great. Love it.
Yeah. All right. So I mentioned there's one other game on the list that maybe is my most anticipated, along with Andromeda's Edge. If this comes out this year, it might be this. So this is Civolution, a big sprawling civilization building game from Stefan Feld. So it's got a terrible cover. So if you look at that, ignore that. But the game looks interesting. It's got like Master Hand and Crazy Hand from Smash Brothers, like playing with some stuff. I don't know. I don't really know what it's supposed to be. But you are faculty at the Technical Academy of Creation, taking a final exam in civilization design, because apparently you need a frame story for a civilization game. You can't just have a civilization game. But, you know, I'm very, very fascinated to see Stefan Feld's take on a civilization game, because of all the things he's done, none of them have been this. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah, super excited. Love Civ games. Love to have a new tack taken on Civ games, because I do think that they've gotten a little boring, a little dry, a little uninspired, a lot of samey kind of stuff. So, yeah, this is, I mean, Feld, I'm so glad he's doing something that's not a reimplementation of a thing he already did.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you're going to keep doing the city stuff, at least mix it up. Like,
yeah.
So it's good to see him mixing it up. All right, next up we have Blueprints of Mad King Ludwig. So this is a flip and sketch game. So again, probably not your most excited thing, but I'm interested to see how they do it. They did have this at PAX. They were letting people play it. We did not get a chance to play it, but I did watch a couple people play, and it is very much like a flip and sketch, right? You flip a thing, you get a prompt, you sketch it into your personal blueprints, and you try to maximize your score. So it is Castles of Mad King Ludwig, but drawing. So if that sounds interesting to you, this might be interesting to you. But if it doesn't, if you're not a big drawing game fan, or like everybody gets the same input and let's see how we can do with it game, like a flip and write, then that's what this is. So maybe not for you.
More power to you, people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got High Season Grand Hotel Roll'n'Write. Yeah. So this is a big box Roll'n'Write game based on Grand Austria Hotel. We're getting a lot of these lately, like the big box Roll'n'Writes.
Yeah.
So it's $30 or $40. It's a full, I mean, it's what a full game used to cost. I guess now it's cheap compared to the full games. But you have the same board of dice. Like, the dice mechanism seems to be the same, but then you are drawing things into your hotel instead of like playing cards into it. So rather than a tableau builder, it is like a flip and write, roll and write type of thing. I think I might pick this up, but I'm still on the fence a little bit as well, because a lot of these bigger box roll and write games have been disappointing of late. It's really hard to make this mechanic work.
Sure.
If it takes more than 30 minutes.
Yeah. At a certain point, you're like, I'd rather play the actual game.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Board Game Geek listed it as 45 to 90 minutes. I'm like, I don't want to play a roll and write for 90 minutes. Like, it's just, I don't. I'd rather play, like you said, I would play the full game. So,
yeah.
And the full game of this is 2 hours. So I might as well play the full game. So,
yeah.
We'll see. Next up is Patterns, a Mandala game. So Mandala was a two-player game from Lookout Games. It came out a few years ago. It was a lot of fun. It was like about building a mandala. So this is an area control type of game in like tile swapping from the mandala that's in front of you, designed by Trevor Benjamin and Brett Gilbert. So I don't know, like these little two player single box games from Lookout Games, I always enjoy. And this seems to be another one based on one that I already have and I'm already very much like. So almost certainly will fly under the radar as these tend to do. And just kind of wanted to throw it out there because I think it's an interesting looking game.
Cool.
Dragon Eclipse is next. This is the Awakened Realms game. It was on GameFound probably like 6 to 9 months ago. It is 1 to 2 players only, in which you are uncovering the secrets of the eclipse and something something dragons. who knows? Their themes are always like, what? But beautiful, beautiful dragon miniatures. That's what I remember about this. And yeah, the 1 to 2 player only thing is interesting.
You had me at beautiful dragon miniatures.
Yes, they are amazing. So it was expensive. I didn't back it. But again, if you just sold me the miniatures, I might be in.
Yeah, same.
Next up, The Veil of Eternity. This technically released in 2023. Again, another one of those Essen releases. But it's got just a beautiful aesthetic to it. It's designed by Eric Hong, who previously has not done anything too substantial. Like, I think Pocket Farm was the previous game that they worked on. But this one's a hand management game and set collection with these just beautiful different creatures and things that you engage with. Kind of this fantasy Eastern aesthetic. Looks pretty. Don't know much more about it, but it looks very pretty. I've heard good things from people who've had a chance to give it a go.
Same.
Dwarf Romantic The Duel. Dwarf Romantic is one of my favorite games of the year. It's in my top 10. It won the Spiel des Jahres also, if that means anything to you. This is a two-player duel version of that game, which is interesting because the original is a cooperative game. So taking that co-op and turning it into like a 1v1 is an interesting spin on it. I'm going to get it. I like this and I'd like to play it with my family, but I really like the way it just works as a co-op. So we'll see if it's worth it.
Sure.
Another duel game coming out this year, the Quacks of Quedlinburg Duel.
Mm-hmm.
So Wolfgang Warsch has remixed Quacks of Quedlinburg into a two-player dueling game. This is, feels like a kind of a rite of passage for a really popular Euros since Uwe Rosenberg did it with all of his.
Yeah.
So we have Caverna and Agricola and Le Havre all had two-player duel games. So now we get things like this. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays.
I think this could be a banger just because when you play Quacks, it's a press your luck game. And when you're playing with multiple people at the table, I think you lose a lot of that because it doesn't really matter. There's just too many people at the table, too many things to figure out and math out and stuff like that. But if it's a two-player game, that press your luck thing becomes really, really important finally, like really on point, you know, going back and forth and trying to like, you know, win or lose as far as like, when should you push or not. So I think this could be it. I think this actually works based on the base game.
Yeah. It looks really interesting. Yeah. All right. Next up we have another two-player dueling game, The Battle of Versailles.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. So this is coming from Salt and Pepper Games. They did have this at PAX to try out. I kind of hovered over it for a little bit to learn the rules. And it is a game based on a fashion show from 1973 in which American designers went up against French designers in Versailles, France.
Damn!
So, yeah. So some of the most famous names in fashion that even I recognize. So I know, like Oscar de la Renta and Anne Klein and Yves Saint Laurent. I know who these people are. Ish.
To be fair, you do dress up for the podcast each and every week. Oh, so
yeah. Nobody gets to see it, but yeah.
It's one design after the other. I mean, I wish you all could see it. He looks fantastic.
Oh my gosh. That is an interesting theme. You don't get a lot of fashion design games.
Yeah, need more.
It looks very pretty too, like just design wise. So I love that this exists. I know a lot of people who've played it really, really enjoy it so far.
Sounds good.
All right. Pirates of Maracaibo. This is a new one from a whole big design team that also includes Alexander Pfister. So it is a kind of a respin on Maracaibo, but with dice.
Sure.
And so, I honestly, they had copies at PAX. I didn't really spend any time with it, so I don't really know what the major differences are, but I liked Maracaibo well enough. We've talked about this before. It's too long. It's just got, it's way too long if you play with more than two people. So like a shorter, more accessible dice-based version of it, maybe that's cool. I don't know. Pfister makes cool stuff, so I'm always up for trying it.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
I'll let you know.
I'll let you know after you spend several hours doing the same thing over and over again. But if it works out, I'll be in. I'll
yeah.
Try.
We'll see. Yeah, it is. The time on it is like 40 to 110 minutes. I'm like, that's a big
Yeah, I just... Nah, yeah, why? Why?
Yeah.
Why do you make your smaller games bigger than your big games?
I know, it's too long.
That's not what you're supposed to be doing, bro. Just saying.
Too long. Yeah, all of his stuff. Like, here's an expansion. Now it's an hour longer. Like, why do you think we want that?
We do not want that.
I was so excited for the Maracaibo expansion, and it made the game longer. And I'm like, no. God, no.
Not even a little bit.
No.
So.
All right. Last but not least, on our main list, and then we have a few more on the secondary list, Wormspan, which at this point you probably already all know about because they just announced it last week.
Yeah.
So
put your joke in right here. Go ahead. We'll give you a second to hit it. Good.
Yeah.
Maybe? That was a good one. That was good. I like that one.
Yeah. Okay. Woo! That's good. Worms.
Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
So it's Wingspan with dragons. Right?
So worms are dragons? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's if you spell it with a Y, yeah.
Ah, I appreciate. I knew that, right? Because sci-fi, fantasy, all that kind of thing, a million dragons, but I don't think the average person in the public knows that.
No.
And I think they're going to have a little bit of a problem, you know, when people search for this game or even think of, like, I think people legitimately are going to think, oh, they had a bird game, now they're going to have a worm game. And I think that's the logical leap instead of dragons.
Yeah.
Again, I get it. I know it. I understand it. But I don't think most people do.
No.
I think it's a little too smart for just a little too like esoteric is the point.
Yep, I agree. I was a little disappointed in this because I was hoping it would just be literally Wingspan with dragons.
Uh-huh.
Reading the summaries of it, it seems like it's more complex than that. My kids are not going to be interested. Wingspan's already kind of the peak of their interest in complexity. So I'm like, I don't know why we always feel the urge to take games that are very popular and well received and then make them more complicated.
That's always the thing that happens, or make them a roll and write and somehow more complicated.
I know. Yeah. So and no one ever wants to play the more complicated one. And even if it's better, which sometimes they are, it just disappears. It fades into obscurity. Now it's Stonemaier Games. So I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. Like everybody's going to buy the game and say it's the second coming of board games because it was made by Stonemaier. But at the same time, I'm like, stop making it more complicated for no reason. Like, Wingspan is perfect in terms of complexity and what it does. Do that, but with dragons and a few new mechanics, and I'd be happy. Maybe it is, too. We haven't played it yet. But
no, and it's not Elizabeth Hearthgrave making the game.
No, it's Connie Vogelman. And Connie made Apiary, which I did get a chance to play over the break, and I actually quite liked it. I think it's a pretty good game. I wish it wasn't Bees in Space. I wish they had just said bees. I think just bees would have been fine.
Just do bees.
Especially from the company that did Wingspan and it was a mega hit. Like, you could just do bees and people would be fine with that. I don't know why you had to put them in space. Because now it's opaque to a lot of people.
Yes.
The people who would be interested in a bee game are not going to be interested in a Bees in Space game.
No.
I don't know why they did that.
People who are interested in like a legit space thing, probably not interested in Bees in Space. Like it's kind of weirdly in between.
It plays like a bee game and they just happen to be in space. I'm like, why are they in space? Anyways, I'll review that in a couple weeks, but the game is good. It's just an unfortunate theming in my opinion.
Yeah.
All right, folks. So there you go. That is, what is that? Like 44 games? Yeah. 44 games. Yeah. 44 games that are maybe coming out in 2024. We have another list of 13 or so that we'll kind of rapid fire through here. These are re-releases, like just straight up re-releases, and expansions set to come out this year. So first up, we have El Grande. This is the big one everybody's really talking about. This comes out next week. El Grande, Chris. Second re-release since your since your prediction. Crazy.
It came true. The Mystics were right, and I was a Mystic at that time. So
yeah. And we actually get new artwork this time, too. It looks nice.
Yeah. No, and again, it's arguably one of the greatest games of all time. So
yeah.
But it always, after its initial release, even with the new release with the meeples, it did not really make any kind of impact or noise like Brass did.
Yeah.
So
maybe that re-release was, it was, the box was too big and it was ugly.
Yeah.
Like this looks much prettier and it's small. So
yeah, of course. And so yeah, here's the hoping.
Yep. Cyclades Legendary Edition. It's another one for you.
Why? I own all of this. Like, come on. You got several of my kidneys. I bought all of the things. Embarrassing. I have the iPad version of this. Nobody owns the iPad version of Cyclades. It's unplayable. There's no AI in the game. And now they're doing it again. And I remember it was up. I was just like, yeah, I can't. No. No, I'm sorry. No.
No. Yeah, this list is here. Like, there are six full re-releases on this list.
Yeah.
Four of them are like of your favorite games.
I feel personally attacked. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
All right. Teotihuacan City of Gods Deluxe Master Set. This was a Kickstarter, and I did eventually cave and back this. There's some new content in here. Mostly it's just revamping the old stuff.
Sure.
So one of the top games on Board Game Geek, one of my favorites. Getting a fancier version. The box will probably be too big. I'll complain about it once I get it. You all know the drill by now.
And it had multiple, the previous version had multiple expansions and stuff and upgrades and all that kind of fun stuff.
So. Yeah, it's three expansions, I think. So this one will have four, one of which is a player count expansion, which I did not back.
Sure. Well, I do know you like having more players play a game.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's take a Euro that is well balanced at four and add a fifth player. That's always fun. Just add an hour and a bunch of headache to the game. It's great. I love that. Let's do it.
There you go, buddy. There you go.
Stop doing it. All right. This is one we're both legit excited about. War of the Ring, the card game, Fire and Swords. So we are getting the first full real expansion. The last one was a solo expansion for War of the Ring, the card game, which is great. And I played it and I love it. But this one adds new factions. So we have the Northmen for the Free Peoples and Easterlings and Ruffians for the Shadow. So now you can play with six people. Huh?
Yeah, instead of shenanigans with people taking buys and stuff like that. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. So, you can play two teams of three, or I think that's what it is. Is it two teams of three or three teams of two? It doesn't matter. I'm excited for it. I love this game. My game of the year last year, and I would love more content for it. So it's cool that it's Ian Brody who did this, because that is a person who is constantly fiddling with and adding to his games. So we're going to keep getting stuff. Lovely man, by the way.
Absolutely.
Great meeting him and hearing kind of the design philosophy that went into this. I'm excited to talk about it more once it comes out.
And again, there are very few games like this where I would say, where I say to you, our friends out there, even if the IP is not a thing that you're into, the mechanics are so rich that it's worth your time and effort to play it. Because I think that you'll get a lot out of it, even if you don't, if you're not into the IP. I think there are some games that go above and beyond, and he did, and it's great, even if you're not a fan of Lord of the Rings. I think it's just something like, oh, this is very abstract tactical kind of stuff. I love this. It works really well.
Yes. Yeah. So good. All right. Another one. We can dunk on this one. Terraforming Mars Prelude 2.
Oh, come on.
So we've got one of the worst Kickstarters of the year and one of the worst titles of the year. Go.
Is this also the AI? Is this also the AI artwork too? On top of everything else?
Yep.
You're the English teacher. Do you want to talk about Prelude 2? Like, that doesn't, that's not even a thing. Like, I get it. It was, it, the Prelude thing is the best expansion you made out of all the Terraforming Mars expansions. And I will die on that hill. I don't care what you say. It is.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what this is? It is the laziest thing they could have done. This is being like
up and down, left and right, inside and out. It's the laziest thing.
It's so lazy. We didn't need more Prelude cards. There's plenty. We didn't need another expansion. The game was done. You re-released everything in an expansion, like a fancy edition. Be done.
Yeah.
It's just, what is your mortgage overdue? Like, why did we do this? I love Terraforming Mars, but why does this exist?
I don't know. I love it. And everyone, they all seem very nice people. I don't know. I don't understand why the AI. I don't understand why call it Prelude 2. I mean, really, the only thing that they can do at this point, and they should have already done this point because they already did the insane plastic box of endless pieces, is do a re-release, a take all the bad stuff from the expansions, throw it in the garbage, take Prelude, put it in the base game, and maybe one or two pieces from the expansions that are acceptable, and call it a day. You know, like, do what Dune Imperium did. Like, look, we have so much stuff that we know people are not going to get into it. Just re-release it. That's it.
Yep.
I don't need the extra plastic either. So just do a new base version with the Prelude in it. That's it. They did not do that.
Nope. We get this nonsense. And then they're going to do it again.
Yeah. Prelude 3. Yeah. It's not a Prelude if it's 2 and 3. I'm just saying. It's not how numbers... That's not how Prelude works.
No, it's not. They're going to start reading, like, episode 1, the Preludening response. All right. Okay, so how about an expansion that seems good and we like the person who made it? Obsession, the character's expansion.
Yeah.
So we're getting new content from Dan Halligan, one of the best people in board games, one of the best people on Kickstarter. So 100%.
Generous. 100%.
Like, everything's affordable. If you have a problem, they'll hook you up. They put time into their campaigns. You get discounts if you've backed previous campaigns. Like, everything about Halligan and Kayenta Games, wonderful. The opposite of Stronghold Games 100%. And everything Terraforming Mars.
That's it. You've done it. You should stop the podcast right now.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, yeah, we get new stuff. We get new personalities, which is just, it's cool. And you get metal coins, which...
And I'm going to do this again, like I just mentioned before about War of the Ring, the card game. I'm going to do this again. If you don't like the IP here, and I get it, because I am not a fan of the IP, period. Just not. You can't sell me on it. I don't watch TV. I don't watch Downton Abbey. I don't watch Upstairs, Downstairs. I don't watch any of the things. I don't watch anything the Royal Family, terrible, bad, all that kind of stuff. The game itself is exceptional. Like, it's just, it's exceptional. And again, it's not bound by the IP. Play the game. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm very excited for this. One of my favorites. The Night Cage, Shrieking Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
New content for the Night Cage. This is such a sleeper hit for me. Like, Smirking Dagger makes great games, but I feel like I sometimes miss stuff that comes out. And this is one I should listen to our podcast, right?
You should listen to our podcast, yeah.
So this is one I played, like, it was like one of the last games I played before I left Pittsburgh. And I was like, oh, wow. Cause like aesthetically, it's not a game that I would like, but playing it, I was like, this is great. It's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
Like this ephemeral space that changes based on the light. So more content to that. Amazing. Excited about that.
Yeah. If you've played the game, the base game, the new mechanic is, and if you play the base game, you know, you fall through sometimes, you fall through a hole. Mm-hmm. And that happens often. And usually what you do is you just get regenerated on the side. Right. Now you fall through a hole. Turns out giant monster into the hole.
Ah!
It's really scary and ugly and it's chasing you. So now there's a whole nother dynamic to the game. And I'll say, you know, it's very hard to produce a horror game. Like it's a board game. It's not scary. I don't care what kind of miniatures you put on the board. It's hard to produce a game that actually, you know, produces some level of dread, and this game does it. So abstract as all get out, and somehow it does it. So give them credit for it.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. All right, next up we have Through the Desert. It's got a new edition coming from All Play. Through the Desert is another Reiner Knizia game, by the way. So that's 4 on our list. this year, which is
I have a good feeling about this guy. He's gonna do something someday.
Seems to know what he's doing. I know. It's just an even 26 years since he first released this game. No big time.
Thousands of games, or give or take. So it's fine.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite Kinesia games. I do have a copy, like the Z-Man version that came out a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But the new version looks very pretty, and I'm excited for all the people who backed it and have a chance to play this game now. So doesn't seem like they changed much, but if you haven't had a chance to play it yet, highly recommend tracking down this new version, because Through the Desert is great.
It looks very good, and the camels look like candies, so be careful.
Yes, they do. Yeah, little, like, pastel-y things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so another one on the list of things for you, personally, to mm-hmm. purchase a second time, Kalamala, the new version with Ian O'Toole artwork.
Why?
Was on Kickstarter earlier last year.
Yes. I don't know. Like, it's my favorite of his games, and it's Ian O'Toole, which is, give or take, I guess, give or take a Larry Elmore, my favorite of the board game designers. So all things are good, other than the fact I own the game, or at least the original version of the game. So there, that's it. But if you haven't played it, it's now prettier, and you have a reason to get to the table because you probably backed it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It is twice the price of the original version, but you know, if you forget that, then it's...
Dude, everything's twice the price these days.
So stupid.
Jeez.
Oh, man. All right. Nucleum, Australia. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They announced it like immediately after the game came out. We're getting new maps.
Yeah.
Or new map, I should say. I love this route for this game. Give me a new map every year or so. I would love that. This is a great game. It's one of my top five of the year. Mm-hmm. And I would love new ways to play it.
I'm going to take a controversial take on this and say ditto.
Nice. Hamlet by the lake. So we got some fishing and boating and village building in the game of Hamlet.
Sure. Which
I don't think it's a game either of us really got a chance to check out, but
nope.
It has been very well received after its crowdfunding campaign.
Sure, why not?
As is tradition, every year I have to put on the new Marvel Champions big box release that's coming in the spring. This year it is Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, buddy.
It is the end of the Mutant Trilogy. There are three of these boxes that were X-Men related. Mm-hmm. So this is the third of those. And I'm very excited about it, as usual. I love these things. Marvel Champions is a great game. So we're getting Bishop and Magic and...
Gold Balls. You're getting Gold Balls with this set.
Yeah.
He's no, I'm not making that up. He's actually a card in the game.
Oh, really?
Yes. You could actually see him on Board Game Geek. He's actually there. Oh,
that's fantastic. So yeah, it's cool. It's very 90s, and I love it.
Yes. Actually, also a very important character in the new comic strip. So.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Great. I shouldn't try to mention anything about X-Men in front of you.
Look, dude, I can go way back with you.
Then you deep dive on it, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
forget me not, okay? Just saying.
Yeah. But yeah, Marvel Champions. And that means we'll get new stuff soon, because they've been doing X-Men now for like 2 years, which I like, but I'm excited for something new.
Oh, come on. What's better than X-Men? Come on.
Nothing's better than X-Men.
This is what I'm saying.
Else. Give me something else.
No. Or X-Men.
No.
Just X-Men. All right. That's all I'm saying.
Just X-Men. Okay. Well, I guess I can't argue with that. All right. We got one more, and then we're done. Shipyard, second edition.
Yay!
It released at Essen. It's coming to the West here in the next few months. We saw a copy of it at PAX Unplugged. Looks very pretty. At least very much prettier than the original version of the game.
Yeah.
There you go. Shipyard.
I don't like the new artwork.
Really?
I get it. I don't like the new artwork.
The old artwork is terrible, though.
It's of its age. It's of its time. I don't blame the art. I mean, but it's good artwork for what it is and from where it was. And the meeple pieces itself, as far as like you building the boats. I'm surprisingly not. I love Shipyard. Shipyard is always in my top 100, in my top 20s, in my top 10. I'm blanking on where its highest reach rank has been. But the artwork and the production here just doesn't do it. It's so AI-ish. I don't know. That being said, I'm loving that it got a second release, new edition, and I'm hoping that a lot of people get a play, because it is a tremendously wonderful game that I, as you mentioned, Anthony, the artwork was such a back in the day kind of thing. So people probably did not play it as much as they should. But yeah. I wish this was Ian O'Toole. That's it. He's become a verb now. Just saying.
That's true. Yeah. Well, there you go, folks. 57 games that may or may not be coming out in 2024. Lots and lots of good stuff here, including apparently every game ever made by Reiner Knizia. So keep your eyes peeled. This is only a tip of the iceberg of the games coming in the year to come. And we will be reviewing many of these because we've already pre-ordered or backed them or otherwise have them coming along the way. Yeah, it's going to be a good year for games.
All right, until next time, this is Chris.
Hey, and this is Anthony.
And we'll save you all. See you at the table at 2024. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.